Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It is December 9th, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, is there any doubt left that Obama wants to completely destroy the right to bear arms? Reactionary gun control following the San Bernardino massacre leads to proposals for adding terror watch list suspects, handpicked by the federal government, to the no-buy gun list. Yeah, you like that, don't you, Bernie? Meanwhile, the draconian police state continues to restrict innocent Americans from traveling by plane. This time, even going as far as adding children to the no-fly list. Plus, info warriors across the country unite against Obama's attack plan on the Second Amendment.
I'm on the internet all the time. I've never seen anything like that. Have you?
All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
InfoWars!
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Really? Why can't she respond, Senator?
Dr. Curry,
you impugned her integrity. I think she's entitled to.
You are welcome to respond, Dr.
I was basically called a denier that I'm denying science. Did you read my written testimony? Are you aware that the IPCC and the consensus has no explanation for the increase of ice in the Antarctic? Are you aware that they have no explanation for the fact that the rate of sea level rise from 1920 to 1950 was as large, if not larger, as it currently is? Are you aware that temperatures have been warming for more than 200 years and that in the 20th century, 40% of the warming occurred before 1950 when carbon dioxide was not a factor in the warming?
Well, that's a very interesting exchange. What are your thoughts about that, Lynn?
Well, I mean, obviously that was just very colorful. It's a 5-minute clip, actually, and you should watch it in its entirety. It's pretty funny, but basically you're seeing an exchange between climatologist Judith Curry and Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, and they're basically fighting over what she, a climatologist, a scientist, he's basically saying, well, you're just saying it's God is doing everything. And she's like, I'm a scientist. And so this is basically what we're now seeing in the global politics as they're having this UN climate meeting is that they're saying the science is settled and scientists are really trying to get out there and say, no, it's not. And of course, so she brings up some pretty interesting points. And she was really upset about the fact that people are trying to discredit her views, mm-hmm. Because she's a scientist. She's a climatologist. This is what she's based her life's work on. And basically they're trying to impugn her integrity there. And so this was a conservative author and columnist, Mark Stein. They're part of this hearing on climate science. It was called by Republican Senator Ted Cruz, and it features prominent scientists who are skeptical of the claims that humans are causing this global warming. And so she is basically taking all of her facts, all of her data from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the very panel that the UN is using to justify the fact that humans are creating climate change. So she's saying, I'm taking their data and saying that they cannot explain the hiatus in global warming. And they just silence her and ignore her and say, there is no hiatus. And so, you know.
Well, this is what we always see, Leanne. Just like you were saying, they say that the debate is settled. The science has been proven. But, and I run into the argument a lot of times when I talk about things like this. They say, well, if people don't agree with it, why aren't they on TV talking about it? There are people who don't agree with it, but think about this. If you've been saying that it's exactly the way it is for all these years, are you really going to bring some guy on your show to debunk what you're saying?
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
If you're really trying to push an agenda that is going to be global, you're not going to want people out there going to debunk what you're saying. And that's why the senator was trying to discredit her, saying, you're saying this is perhaps God-made rather than dependent upon something that is man-made and backed by science. And so that's the argument that they're using, as if nothing existed before man and science came along.
You know, like God has never created anything.
Right. And so, you know, I only took social sciences during college, and that luckily it wasn't socialist propaganda at my school. And I learned this is history. The earth has purged itself at least 7 times throughout the history of the earth. It just happens. It gets very cold. It gets very hot. And we are long overdue for this to happen again. And what we have now are globalists who are taking advantage of the fact that this is going to happen. And they're already pushing it, because now the UN has announced they're organizing a civil society. It's basically being called a tsunami PR campaign. So they're going to be pumping all of this propaganda out there. And anyone else who has any voice that will counter this is obviously going to be made fun of. And they're going to be now told that they do not belong as a part of the civil society.
Oh.
And the Pope's already kind of getting in line, because he's projecting images of panda bears and things like that on the Vatican.
Yeah, of course, polar bears can't swim and all all this silliness.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne.
Yeah, get ready for that.
And as we're talking about climate change and climate summit, we recently saw Obama out there saying that we know these terrorists are out here doing all these terrible things because of climate change. Completely ridiculous. They're blowing up churches because you keep giving them grenades. They're killing people because you keep sending the CIA over there to fund them, but that's another story. Now let's talk about Obama no-fly list. It also should be the no-gun buy list, according to him. Obama's no-fly, no-buy violates the Second and Fifth Amendments. Yeah, because we always see these guys, they want to come out and ban everything, even though they're somewhat of a cause of the violence that's going on. Of course, Fast and Furious, giving guns to Al-Qaeda, all the stuff we talk about all the time. And Obama isn't the only person who is making these type of statements. Rahm Emanuel, the Chicago Don, as I would refer to him, made a similar statement many years ago.
Because we need somebody in the Oval Office that moves this Congress. We had an election about change. People are clear about the special interests. They are tired of that gridlock the special interest caused in Washington. And I think the most simple thing we can do, and we've got to make this a number one issue as a test vote and then take it into the election, that is, if you are on the no-fly list, because you are known as maybe a possible terrorist, you cannot buy a handgun in America.
And Obama says, well, what's the possible justification for having somebody on a no-fly list buy a gun? And on the surface, I will agree with you that it sounds reasonable. But when you dig into it and you find out that many people on the no-fly list do not deserve to be there, it becomes a little more murky. Now, I'm sure there are some people who deserve to be on the no-fly list who have done things or suspects in various crimes. But one of the people who was completely innocent was Mr. Wade Hicks, and we actually had a chance to interview him when he was stranded in Hawaii.
Midway through his journey to see his wife, who's in the military in Japan, he was taken off the plane in Hawaii and told that he couldn't fly. So he was basically stranded in Hawaii, and he was stranded there from a Sunday to a Thursday until that restriction was lifted. And Wade is on his way home now. He finally was able to get back home. And he's on his way home, and he's a longtime listener, and he was kind enough to swing by Austin on his way home to Mississippi from California, and had him in the studio earlier with Alex Jones, and we've got him in the studio right now. Well, Wade, thank you for coming in and seeing us here at the station. You're on your way home, and we really appreciate you taking the time to come by and tell people more about your story. You know, it's the sort of thing where a lot of people's instinct would just be to kind of hunker down and try to keep a low profile and just hope that this goes away. But you kind of met it head on, and that's a good thing to do.
Well, that's the thing. If you're in that type of situation, you have to keep your head screwed on straight. Don't get emotional and just do whatever you know or what you think is the best thing to do. And for me, it was going to the media, going to my friends, because those were really the only people that were going to be able to help me. The government wasn't going to do anything to help me. They were just doing their whole bureaucratic nightmare stuff. Mm-hmm. So I could have been there 3 months had I not been as proactive as I was trying to get this story out.
That's right. And they still, to this day, have not given you any information as to why you were put on the list or what your current status is, whether you're on the list or whether you're off of the list, right?
No, I've asked for it in writing. They've never given me anything in writing to say that I was on the list. They never gave me anything that says I was off the list. And it completely throws everything we know about the Constitution and due process out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very dangerous situation, not just for you, but for everybody. Because when the government can secretly accuse somebody of something, you still have no idea what they thought was wrong, and they won't tell you. When they can secretly accuse you and then secretly impose penalties on you, they can do that to anybody. I mean,
well, absolutely. And what's really scary is there's a lot of members of the military that their spouses do use military aircraft to fly Space Available when they're on deployment to go meet their loved ones that are deployed. And that's what I was doing. I was going using a travel authorization from the military to go see my wife. And, you know, if I could be stopped mid-flight, put on a no-fly list, and detained in Hawaii, basically indefinitely until they decided to let me go, mm-hmm. this could happen to any military member's spouse or children even. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's extremely alarming, that they're going after not only people that are outspoken like myself, but going after military spouses and military members directly, basically saying, oh, well, you know, you're questionable, so you can't fly because we said so.
And that's just one story, but we have many, many more, actually more than we have time to go through on our broadcast. But first, I want you to meet little Mikey. Now, this was New York Times article a few years ago. He was age 8, and they had him on a terror watch list. Now, to be fair, no 8-year-old is actually on the no-fly list, and you can see him right there in his Boy Scout uniform. But he had a similar name or birthday or, you know, place of birth, some type of identifying characteristic that made him pop up on the flag. And you would think that somebody would have the state of mind to realize that this 8-year-old Boy Scout is not an actual terrorist, but they didn't. They, you know, they kicked him off the flight, delayed the flight, whatever they did to inconvenience this young man. And it makes me think, as we continue to beef up these watch lists and these security lists, when young Mikey becomes 16 and he wants to go get a job, are they going to bar him from employment because he's on a watch list? When he wants to join the military or go buy a firearm or some other thing that requires identification, are they going to say, no, you can't do that because you're on a terror watch list? And people say, well, of course, they'll be able to identify him later on that he's not an actual terrorist. But my argument to that is, if they would kick the boy off a plane, equating him with some type of elusive international terrorist, I'm pretty sure they'd still consider him to be a terrorist when he becomes more of a fighting age young man. And Mikey isn't the only one. We also have TSA toddler terror. Now, this is a family that was marched off a plane because an 18-month-old was on a no-fly list. And the family said that they were humiliated, embarrassed, and picked on, and said that they had to wait for the TSA to get around to servicing them. Another example of the mighty, mighty TSA. I'll say a real quick TSA story. I may have told this one before. I have countless ones. Every time we go on a trip, I encounter another one. But I think it was the last trip we went on. I got pulled over by the TSA. They had to dig through my bag. You know, we carry camera equipment, and they act like they've never seen a microphone before. So they're pulling out. They're digging through all my stuff. And eventually what the guy comes down to, he throws away my toothpaste and my eye drops, you know, because all terrorists walk around with toothpaste trying to blow people up. So that's one of my more recent TSA stories. But they don't just come after guys like me who have a bag full of wires and microphones. They're actually coming after airline pilots, the people who fly your plane. You guys recall, it was a few years ago, the TSA would say, hey, we're going to start checking all pilots before they get on the planes. And the pilot said, you trust us to fly a plane full of hundreds of people who we have their lives in our hands, but you don't trust us to get past your airport screens. They said, no, we're not going to fly your airplane. They said, okay, you guys can get by without going on the screening. But it's airline pilots, lawyers, and children on the terror watch list. And they say a commercial pilot can carry a gun in a cockpit, yet his name appeared on the terror watch list. Completely ridiculous. I just don't know what is going through the minds of these people who are supposedly vetting the people who are on these terror watch lists. Now, luckily, they have implemented a new type of counter argument, I guess you would say, to where if you do appear on the watch list, you can send in some type of form or discrepancy and try to get your name off of it. But good luck on that altogether. And it was also came out in the news last week. I think it was 72 DHS employees appeared on the terror watch list. So I wonder if Obama is going to ban those people from flying. I seriously doubt it, but one can only hope. And as we're talking about Obama, let's talk about Obamacare. And this is CNBC. NBC the network that loves Obama is actually covering Obamacare penalties, and they're saying that they're much larger than you actually think. A new report underscores what they call a key area of uncertainty, the extent to which higher Obamacare penalties will prod uninsured people to sign up for coverage. It says households that opt out to go without health insurance in 2016 are set to get hit with an average Obamacare fine of $969, basically a grand for being uninsured, which, I mean, to each his own. Personally, for me, if I had insurance right now, I'd be paying, you know, $200 a month with a $5,000 deductible, which is to say I'd have to pay at least $5,200 to have somebody fix my broken leg or whatever. I could probably just pay that cash if that did happen. So for me, I don't like these penalties for that reason. If you have family, I understand you got kids and you may not want to take that risk. But, you know, the Obamacare screw job, as I would call it, isn't the way to go. There are also other things out there, Samaritan Ministries, I think Liberty Shield or something to those effect. I don't use those, so it's just ones I've heard about. So use those at your own discretion. Definitely look into it if it's something that you're interested in. Now, a sheriff here in Texas, as many sheriffs are here in Texas, are interested in people keeping their right to bear arms, because it's here in Texas, it's in Milwaukee, it's in Detroit, where the police chiefs and sheriffs are saying, hey, I want you to have the means to defend yourself. And this gentleman from Hugh Spring County, Randy Kennedy, uploaded a video to Facebook defending law-abiding citizens and their ability to own firearms.
What I'm asking all of my citizens to do, all my law-abiding citizens, I am asking you to help me and our fellow law enforcement officers by arming yourselves. I want you to get a carry permit. I want you to learn how to use your weapon properly, safely, so that they don't fall into the hands of children. We have terrible accidents with children, but I do want you to arm yourselves.
And we'll end our segment tonight with a story about why you should be able to carry a firearm. Suspect gets shot in the gut after following nightclub worker home. So basically, this is a situation where a couple guys, they wanted to go to a bar, but it was a private party. So the guy said, hey, you guys have to come back tomorrow. They don't like this very much, so they decide to follow the employee home. You know, we're getting a little physical. The employee pulls out a firearm and defends themselves against the five other attackers. So that's the equalizer right there. 5-on-1, you pull out your firearm, you're able to defend yourself and live to see another day. Now, coming up later on in our show, we'll have a special report from John Bound documenting this type of thing, why you should be able to have a firearm. And also Tucker Carlson with the hot topics of the day. And Dr. Group explained how you can survive the holidays without putting on a lot of weight. Stay tuned. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
We're going to get into a lot of news throughout this hour and also take your calls on health questions. I'm going to pose a question to you. You know, Time Magazine named Angela Merkel, Chancellor Angela Merkel, as Person of the Year. I'm going to question you on who you would name, and I'm going to tell you who I would name and who Alex would name and Dr. Group as well. But we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And the good news is there's actually no such thing, by the way, as internet censorship in China, according to China. China's top censor actually just released a statement. The senior Chinese official known as the gatekeeper of the country's internet has denied that the country censors online information. Liu Wei, Chief of State Internet Information Office, said China does not censor but manages internet content. So I have good news for you. There's no such thing as internet censorship in the United States either, or in the world, just anywhere at all. It's only managed. So when you go to post something online, it's blocked or it's taken down on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. That's actually not censorship. Good news, guys. That's just managed content. The government manages it to keep you safe. So that's some uplifting news. But no, seriously, we're going to get into some other news about petition to ban Trump from the UK passes 250,000 signatures. Could he be actually banned in the United Kingdom? I wonder if that would still hold if he's president. That would be interesting. Google says it has proved its controversial quantum computer really works and it could do math better than a conventional computer. Anonymous couple drops $500,000 into a Salvation Army kettle outside of a small restaurant. We're going to talk about how Putin... We spoke about this a little bit earlier, but we're going to expand on how he's going to become a non-GMO dominant exporter. And in Kazakhstan, the internet backdoors you. They want to install some type of a chip or software, I'll have to read into it, and where it tracks everything on your personal devices. This is kind of like a beta test of what some people want to do in the United States, where every single thing you do on your personal device, whether it's a cell phone or a computer or a lap, you know, iPad or whatever, it all goes through the government cloud and it tracks everything you look up, everything you are interested in, everything you like, everything you do. Just tracks you 100% completely. We also have some uplifting news, but Dr. Group is going to talk to us about some really, really important health information on detoxing, on avoiding the average of 5 pounds that we all gain during the holidays, right? And some of the reasons that we're secretly, you know, unknowingly packing on the weight, feeling like crap over the holidays, what we can actually do about it. So tell us about that.
Now, you know, coming, knowing I was going to be on the show today, I was like, what can I do for people The holidays are coming up. You know, sometimes I come on the show, we promote the products, which are great, but I really want to give back to everybody and just say, put together a lot of facts and put together some tips that everybody can learn about the holidays and what they can do to be healthy during the holidays, how they can replace some of the toxic foods with some natural foods, how they can reduce their stress levels over the holidays, because I know they're probably going to have parents and, you know, mother-in-laws and everything coming in. So it's not only having a non-toxic holiday season, but it's also, you know, how do you deal with all this stuff that's going on? And so I put together some things that I'd like to share with everybody. A few years ago, Consumer Reports did a survey on what Americans dread the most about the holidays. They dread the most going in debt, dealing with crowds, and gaining weight. And according to the National Cancer of Health Statistics, over 30% of American adults are overweight and another 30% are obese.
So in other words, they dread the very thing they are just as much as going into debt. That's pretty hardcore. Gaining 5 pounds is just as bad as going into debt.
Right. The New England Journal of Medicine says the average person gains at least 1 pound each year between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and usually up to 5 pounds. I know everybody's interested in not being able to gain that weight. And when you look at the Thanksgiving, the Christmas holidays, really it starts around Halloween when you get all the candy and you start slowing down because wintertime starts coming in.
And it's fun though too. Like I definitely don't think what we're saying is, oh, you can't enjoy yourself. You can't have these things. Instead, it's just these little secret kind of attacks, these incognito health threats that we don't realize that are in all of this stuff that we can easily get rid of, and you can still enjoy yourself, still have fun, which I'm all about, you know, enjoying yourself in the holidays, but not destroying your body, not gaining 5 to 10 pounds and saying, oh God, why did I do that? It's not actually that hard.
Yeah, because come January, when you have your New Year's resolution, you'd be like, wow, I actually lost 2 pounds over the holidays.
Right.
So what I looked at was, you know, what are the most common toxic substances that people are going to be exposed to over the holidays? Number one is beverages, and that's going to be your coffee mixes, your eggnog, your different alcoholic drinks, different types of cocktails, soda, eggnog, for example. Now, personally, I don't drink eggnog. I used to as a kid. I liked it, and sometimes I'll buy, like, the coconut eggnog for the kids or whatever, but I was amazed to find out that traditional eggnog is basically cream, sugar, white sugar, and eggs. And one 16-ounce serving of eggnog contains 500 to 800 calories and 40 grams of fat. One 16-ounce serving. That's without any alcohol added. And that's the equivalent of you eating 4 glazed donuts.
And I don't know about you guys, but I picture everyone drinking about 5 of those 16-ounce glasses of eggnog. Everyone just chugs it all day.
With brandy in it.
Wake up in the morning, let's have some eggnog, you know, yeah, and put a little brandy in there and just drink it throughout the day is pretty much it.
The football games are coming on, the food's starting to come out, you're starting to get your eggnog, you're adding the brandy in there. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So I'll tell you, a natural replacement for eggnog is if you go to your natural or organic food store and you can get, it's still high in sugar, but it's still going to be better for you. Coconut eggnog, almond milk eggnog, they make it in like a chocolate mint and they make it in different flavors. Or better than that, just don't even drink the eggnog and just utilize water, which is another thing that people get dehydrated over the holiday season. With all the alcohol and all these sugary drinks, it dehydrates you. So one of my recommendations too over the holidays, just make a conscious effort to try to drink more water. You know, just get one of the glass water containers and fill it up and just tell yourself you're going to drink 2 or 3 of those a day. The next thing I have on the list is the sugary drinks and sugar in general. For example, a 16-ounce peppermint white chocolate mocha from Starbucks contains syrups, whipped cream, and chocolate that adds up to 500 calories and 76 grams of sugar.
If you just get rid of the drinks that you're having on a daily basis and replace it with water or just something that's not complete junk, you'll realize that is about, I'd say 70% of people don't realize all of the toxic matter they're taking in and the extra calories and they're getting fat is because of the drinks.
Yeah, because I was looking at all these things and I was just amazed because I know. I mean, I have family members and I have people in my office, unfortunately, that, you know, really get into the Christmas spirit, and they, you know, they're coming in with their venti mocha, peppermint mocha lattes and stuff, and which have more calories than a cheeseburger, believe it or not.
Mega doses of sugar and milk and, you know, there's sweeteners and stuff. If you get one of those vanilla mocha frappuccinos or whatever it is, it's oftentimes like 2,000 calories. It's like sitting down eating an entire entree at a restaurant, and people just drink it all day because you don't see the label. You don't actually care. And, you know, I want you to keep going. It also reminds me of this, though. Putin wants Russia to become world's biggest exporter of non-GMO food, but that's not even the most important part. What most people that are covering this haven't realized is perhaps the biggest part is Putin says in this statement, the same one, that the Western food supply is basically crap. He says, we are not only able to feed ourselves, taking into account our lands, water, resources. Russia is able to become the largest world supplier of healthy, ecologically clean, and high-quality food. This is the important part. Which the Western producers have long lost, especially given the fact that demand for such products in the world market is steadily growing. So he says, they have clean food, they have ecologically clean food, they have real organic food and high-quality food, which the Western producers have long lost. So isn't it interesting that a world leader, Putin, who many would say should really be Time Magazine Man of the Year in some ways because of many different fronts, because of his massive publicity and he's kind of outshined Obama in many ways, is saying that the Western food supply is essentially dead, devoid of any high quality, ecologically clean and healthy food, devoid of any good organic food. And he says that Russia is going to step up and become the number one exporter of non-GMO organic food. This is from RT, Russia Today. That is his pivotal point in saying that the Western food supply is so dead that he's going to step up and take it over. Is that not a huge attack and a glaring reality that our food supply is so destroyed that Putin from Russia is going to come in and say that the U.S. has lost it, and he's going to have a main point of his entire, really, career, it seems like, be the fact that they have real food again?
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
And here's an excerpt from today's Alex Jones Show, where Tucker Carlson made an appearance.
Are they really on their last legs? I mean, I know you're on Fox. I wouldn't call it dinosaur media because it's at least somewhat conservative, and so it has a big audience. But the others don't have audiences. They're facades. I mean, I can turn on a Facebook mentions at home and get 1.5 million viewers anytime I want. Their biggest show doesn't have 500,000. So when does the zombie finally fall down and die, or can it not die because it's already dead? Tucker Carlson.
I've never heard it put that way, but I love it. I mean, you're watching it die now, and you're watching Donald Trump benefit from its death. I mean, in my view, the worst thing about Trump is the media reaction to him, which is so hyperventilating and self-righteous. It's merely an excuse for reporters to explain that they're morally superior to Donald Trump. You know, he's a bad person. They're great people. It's a vehicle for their vanity and self-aggrandizement. It's disgusting. And, you know, there are things about Trump that I don't agree with, and there are certainly things about his rhetoric that I think ought to be more precise, that he'll explain better. But none of that really compares in emotional impact to the feeling I get watching the press whine about him and declare him dangerous. Every time I hear that, I feel like sending him money. I would be shocked if Donald Trump awoke in the middle of the night seething with hatred toward Muslims. I don't know, but I doubt it.
He doesn't.
I think Donald Trump is just really worried that we're going to see more terror attacks in the country. And you look at Europe and its inability over 70 years to integrate and assimilate large Muslim populations, and it does make you wonder, like, what do you know, we don't want to be Sweden or Belgium or France. So what steps do we need to take in order to not become them? That's a totally reasonable and rational conclusion to reach. So maybe you don't think that stopping all Muslim immigration is the answer, but at least the question is an essential question. And only Trump seems to be asking it. Why
That's right.
is that? All the attention is on how the Republican Party has changed and it's more extreme. And, you know, it has changed in a lot of ways, but not as much as the Democratic Party has changed. The Democratic Party from our life, we're about the same age, for our lifetimes was the party of kind of the faculty lounge, affluent white intellectuals on college campuses, of course, of minority voters and of the poor. But it was also the party of like the working man. They always claimed that. And they were right, actually. The average wage earner was a Democrat because he thought the party was on his side. It is no longer that. The Democratic Party is the party of left-wing intellectuals and of people who are wholly dependent on government, who need government help. And so, of course, the Democratic Party is their natural home. There's nobody in the middle. They don't represent normal people anymore.
So it's a gang. It's a gang.
It completely is. And so without the leavening effect of normal people with jobs and families and, you know, and maybe a week of deer hunting every fall, they have no reference points for what's normal. And the authoritarian impulse, which has always been on the left, because the left believes that politics is the way to improve the world and human nature itself. So they take politics much more seriously than the right does, for sure. That authoritarian impulse has nothing to hold it back.
That's right.
And it's in full flower. And the gun issue, I don't even talk about it much on the air because it makes me too emotional. and I become tongue-tied because it makes me so angry. But I'll just make the obvious point that I know your viewers agree with, but they're not even pretending that gun control will make the country safer because it demonstrably won't or prevent terrorism. It's absurd. They don't even try. They're basically just saying that anybody with a gun or certain kinds of guns is prima facie evil, which is to say they're part of another culture, one that we're not a part of, that needs to be stamped out and destroyed. And let's just go ahead and use this national crisis to hurt these people. I mean, that's kind of their open pitch. They're not even pretending anymore. It's really ominous. And I tell people who are upset, a lot of Republicans in Washington, as you know, are horrified by Trump. They hate him more than they hate Obama. He's a direct threat to their power. And I always say to them, there's a reason he's here, and that's because you have been a bad steward of this party. The president has been a bad steward of the federal government. A lot of the business community have been bad stewards of the economy. The people running things haven't done a very good job, so it shouldn't surprise you that someone like Donald Trump arrives on the scene and gets really popular by telling the truth about your failures. Like, why is that shocking? The most lasting damage they will do, though, is introducing a hard kind of ethnic politics into American life, where their appeals are explicitly racial. Republicans are white. They hate you. They don't understand you. They're unreasonably racist. This is the president's point in almost every address he gives. The real threat is bigotry here at home. It scares the hell out of people. There are a lot of non-white voters who I think are open-minded, who know they're not being served by the Democratic Party, who might be willing to look elsewhere. But they can't. Understandably, they can't, because they've been told for generations that the Republican Party hates them because of the way they look. And once you think somebody hates you, you're not open to appeals from that person or that group anymore. You shut down, right? And so they've created, really, they've been instrumental in creating a really tough kind of ethnic politics that doesn't go away. These wounds linger. And the one thing you don't want in your country is ethnic politics, because it's not resolvable. If you and I disagree on an issue, issues come and go. You know, they're resolved. Our ethnicity is immutable. It doesn't change. And so if we hate each other because of our ethnic differences, our children will hate each other because of their ethnic differences. This is the story of world history.
And it's the story of the Tower of Babel, of the broken coalition strategy, where everyone's so divided and conquered, you can never agree about a Second Amendment or private property or sovereignty or anything, because you're just too obsessed over your identity politics.
Exactly. And that, man, you don't even, it's a very effective way to mobilize voters, by the way. If you have a candidate like Hillary, who doesn't have a very impressive record to run on, she's not going to be running on her tenure as Secretary of State or her years as senator from New York. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. So she's going to be running on ethnic politics, identity politics entirely. I'm a woman. My opponent is not. You're mad at your ex-husband, vote for me. Or it's time to give a woman a shot. And they're the white party. You resent them. They have things that are rightfully yours. Vote for me. Boy, that works. I mean, it'll probably get her elected, or it could get her elected in any case, but it will have effects that our grandchildren will be living with and that are very unhappy and very dangerous. What's so funny is they're in a lather this morning about the idea that he might run third party. Here's a newsflash. He already is running third party. He's already broken with Republican orthodoxy on economics. He's attacked the hedge fund people. He's broken with them on foreign policy. He's pointed out the Iraq war was a disaster. That's not allowed, but he did it anyway. He's being attacked by the head of the RNC. He's hated by donors. He's hated by lobbyists. He's hated by the entire Washington establishment and the other candidates. Or some of them say they won't vote for him.
He's incredible.
He's actually not. He's not running as a Republican. Here's a newsflash. And maybe that's why he's succeeding. Because and again, I've always kind of voted Republican because I don't see the choice. But the truth is the Republican coalition for 40 years has been a combination of libertarian economic policy and neoconservative foreign policy. And neither one has worked for a lot of people in the middle of the country. That's just the truth. Trump is radical because he's not tied to anyone. So take, for example, carried interest. It's a loophole in the tax code that allows some people in the finance business, hedge fund managers, among others, to take their income as investment dividends. In other words, they pay half the tax that the rest of us wage earners pay. Now, this is obviously wrong. They won't even defend it in public. I'm pro-capitalist and I'm opposed to it. It's indefensible. And yet 7 years under the Obama administration, a supposedly radical left-wing redistributionist administration, they've allowed this to remain in the tax code. They've never gone after it for 7 years. Okay. It took Donald Trump to stand up, a billionaire, obviously a beneficiary of capitalism, to say, this is totally unfair.
You can't be tax exempt when housewives and working mothers and people are paying 20% tax. You can't be tax exempt, bozos. There's not going to be an economy if you keep setting the playing field where it's crooked.
Exactly. But I think people underestimate how radical it is for the Republican frontrunner to say this, or even to make an obvious point. You know, he's not attacking our soldiers or even Bush or Cheney. He's just pointing out, look, the Iraq war didn't go that well. And would you do it again? Of course not. That's a stupid question even to ask. And yet he was the only one in the Republican field who would say something that obvious. Not all changes. All change is a mixed blessing. Some of it is good. But from a political point of view, it is absolutely death for the Republicans. That was the plan from day one. They ignored it or didn't know about it. And now they're staring down the barrel of elections they can't win. And the consequences, I'll just say one last thing, the consequences are that the things that we've taken for granted, I mean, the core things we took for granted, the right to bear arms, the right to speak freely, the right to disagree with the majority, the right to assemble, the right to privacy, things that we thought were constitutionally guaranteed, suddenly nobody cares.
That's right. And now the Democrats know they're just an election or two away from total domination.
Right.
And you can see the rest of that report at InfoWars.com. We'll be right back.
All right, we're going to cut this segment short because I understand we have an urgent phone call right now from Admiral Akbar of the Rebel Alliance. Admiral, thanks for joining us. You know, we were just talking about the internet kill switch, and Barack Obama, you know, he just said that he thinks we should hand power of the internet over to the federal government. I think that sounds like a scary thought. And Obama says it will be used fairly and distributed equally. What do you say to that?
It's a trap.
What happened? Did we lose him?
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports. And it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Obama and company would have us all believe that gun ownership must be heavily regulated. These comments stem from a fabricated culture of fear to be believed by our Big Daddy government. Sorry, kids. It turns out Big Daddy is a compulsive liar. As gun sales have gone up, gun violence has gone down. Well, unless you're counting Big Daddy's gun-free zones. Mother Jones magazine did their best to attempt to point out that gun violence victims were increasing. Problem is, that data was gathered exclusively from gun-free zones. According to the Washington Post, in 1993, there were 7 homicides by firearm for every 100,000 Americans, according to a Pew Research Center analysis of data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. By 2013, that figure had fallen by nearly half. to 3.6, a total of 11,208 firearm homicides. The number of victims of crimes involving guns that did not result in death, such as robberies, declined even more precipitously, from 725 per 100,000 people in 1993 to 175 in 2013. In 2008, the Supreme Court ruled in District of Columbia versus Heller that individual firearm possession is constitutionally protected, especially when it comes to self-defense. And as the gun crime victims' numbers decreased, American gun ownership began to skyrocket. President Obama's rhetoric and life-threatening policies have served to sell over 100 million guns since he took office. I guess some things do happen overnight.
It's not going to happen overnight. Change cannot happen overnight, and the changes we seek won't always happen overnight. The economic challenges that we face weren't created overnight. They're not going to be solved overnight.
A crisis this deep didn't happen overnight.
Nothing worth doing happens overnight. We should not expect change to happen overnight. I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
Regardless, the totalitarian left continues to threaten our Second Amendment rights.
What these latest incidents in Colorado and now California raises two questions. One, are we mature enough as a country to look in the mirror and say we have a gun problem? You know, a 12-step program starts with you got to acknowledge you have a problem. Are we mature enough to acknowledge that?
A treasonous shadow government shows their illegal hand by the very policies they set forth. Case in point, Obama begged from the Oval Office to administer an unconstitutional no-fly list while opening the floodgates for potential terrorists to enter the United States. As of 2013, the no-fly list included 47,000 people, up from 16 people after George W. Bush created it. American residents and U.S. veterans have routinely been put on the list by mistake.
To begin with, Congress should act to make sure no one on a no-fly list is able to buy a gun.
Today, the ACLU was in a federal court arguing that people on the list cannot access the full evidence against them, receive a hearing, or cross-examine witnesses against them. Analysts are saying that the ACLU may actually win this thing. According to the rights granted by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they already have. The lunacy behind the no-fly list should have put the Bush administration under the jail years ago. John Baum for InfoWars.com.
And another great report from John Baum. Now we have the winner of our Analyze Obama Speech Contest. This is Rupert Q. He is the winner of the grand prize, $1,000 in cash. We're dissecting Obama's attack on the Second Amendment.
Hi, it's Rupert. Today's episode is brought to you by
Bugs and Killers.
And also, this is my analysis of President Obama's San Bernardino speech. I will start off with the speech's most blatant contradiction.
So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas, or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. We see growing efforts by terrorists to poison the minds of people like the Boston Marathon bombers and the San Bernardino killers.
Okay, so which is it? There is or isn't an influence from overseas?
But it is clear that the two of them had gone down the dark path of radicalization.
And where is this exactly? I'm on the internet all the time. I've never seen anything like that, have you? In the next few clips, he's actually reminding us that he is in charge of the military.
As Commander-in-Chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people.
Wait a minute, that sounds a little familiar.
In the process, we've hardened our defenses, from airports to financial centers to other critical infrastructure. Intelligence and law enforcement agencies have disrupted countless plots here and overseas, and worked around the clock to keep us safe.
Oh, yeah, I know where I've heard that before. What's that guy's name? George Bush.
We will destroy ISIL and any other organization that tries to harm us.
As far as I'm concerned, this is a George Bush speech.
First, our military will continue to hunt down terrorist plotters in any country where it is necessary.
And that right there is a very George Bush-like declaration of war on everybody.
Terrorists turn to less complicated acts of violence, like the mass shootings that are all too common in our society.
What he's saying is they've got the airports locked down, but they're still coming for you at the mall.
It is this type of attack that we saw at Fort Hood in 2009.
All right, I guess we can call that a terrorist attack now?
And since the day I took this office, I have authorized U.S. forces to take out terrorists abroad.
Take that, you confused anti-war Obama supporters.
Our closest allies, including France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, together with 65 countries that have joined an American-led coalition.
So we've got a 65-country coalition and a declaration of war on everybody. Can we just go ahead and call this World War III yet?
We will continue to provide training and equipment to tens of thousands of Iraqi and Syrian forces.
I got a better idea. Why don't you try providing people here with training and equipment?
To begin with, Congress should act to make sure no one on a no-fly list is able to buy a gun.
Really? How is the no-fly list now not the no-gun list? I think we should add a third random thing to the list, like tacos. Hey man, you want to go get Mexican food?
Nah man, you know I can't. I'm on the no taco list.
We should put in place stronger screening for those who come to America without a visa.
Raise your hand if you didn't know you could do that.
So that we can take a hard look at whether they've traveled to war zones.
Oh, just ask them. I'm sure they'll tell you. Now, even though earlier this week some guy was like,
this guy is such a total pussy.
The president is doing something that I don't remember George Bush doing. He's actually asking for a declaration of war.
If Congress believes, as I do, that we are at war with ISIL, it should go ahead and vote to authorize the continued use of military force against these terrorists. We should not be drawn once more into a long and costly ground war.
That is code for they're going to spend a lot of money on technology and they are going to bomb the crap out of some people. Then I can't help but feel like he's proselytizing for Islam a bit.
We cannot turn against one another by letting this fight be defined as a war between America and Islam, including millions of patriotic Muslim Americans. For the vast majority of terrorist victims around the world are Muslim. We must enlist Muslim communities rather than push them away.
That's cool, but can Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus get a shout out too? Separation of church and state?
Let's not forget that freedom is more powerful than fear. That we have always met challenges, whether war or depression, natural disasters or terrorist attacks, by coming together. I have no doubt that America will prevail.
So it's blatantly obvious to me that this speech is about using the no-fly list as a no-gun list, and it's also a speech about Obama getting ready to use the military in a more massive way than he ever has. I will always refer to this speech as Obama's George Bush speech. He is evoking his power as commander-in-chief, however it's being done so in such a manner because of his constituency. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching episode 60 of Hyatt's Rupert, which is also a submission to InfoWars. Thanks. See you next time. Bye. Thank you for considering my submission. Let me know if you want me to come work for you guys.
Well, that's it for our show tonight. We do encourage you to go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Get yourself a free trial. You can see the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, all right there at PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between the chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge?
Know your history and you will know your enemy. InfoWars.com.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there.
InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.